You're listening to a podcast from 702 and Cape Talk.
702 and Cape Talk. Dr. Shoma.
Hello, Dr. Shoma. Are you well?
Yeah, good day, good day, good day. So we're talking about all the things that make us feel lekker.
Or not so lekker, as the case might
not
be. It can
all.
Be quite
this
debilitating.
Is not funny stuff, huh? That is not funny stuff. Yeah, panic attacks. The idea here is really to maybe we can hint at ways of getting out of it. I don't know anybody in my circle of work colleagues or friends who hasn't had one. So what is it? It's a sudden and definitely overwhelming feeling of acute and disabling anxiety. And it goes with so much. It goes with sweating, shaking, palpitations. It goes with shortness of breath. It goes with numbness. There is a bad feeling something is going to badly happen right now. What a colleague of mine, when I said this morning, hey, we're dealing with something that most people have experienced, and tell me what you've done, she said, well, this is really fear spread all over. That's what a panic attack is. We might, Eusebius, have to talk about where it actually comes from.
Yes.
And most researchers and most practitioners believe to have a panic attack, you have to have a triggering event, and that's usually something extremely stressful. So initially, there might be the loss of somebody valued, a friend, a relative, unexpected divorce, separation, death. There could be job loss. There could be the Knysna fires. And then the initial anxiety is justified because the event is really there. But the body mounts afterwards fight-flight responses involving huge, huge surges of adrenaline, racing heart, rising blood pressure, although the initial trigger is not there anymore. So what is happening here? Your body goes on alert, your mind gets stuck, your breathing goes rapid, and your heart goes racing. And you're in that moment, and these things can last from 5 minutes to half an hour, as if, some people say, as if I am alive dying. So it's not a funny thing. We've got to deal with it, got to work with it. I would love to know, because there are good people out there that have tried all kinds of things. What have you tried? What have you done? What has worked? Before I give you the method, what do we call it? The Dr. Shoma method.
Okay, we've got Laura on the line, Dr. Shoma. Laura, welcome to the show.
Laura, talk to us.
Hello. Hello. Thank you, Dr. Shoma. I've been suffering panic attacks very severely, five a day and several at night while I'm sleeping for several years, triggered by a personal event. And I had two questions. I wondered, first of all, if they can be triggered by watching something stressful on TV, for instance. And my other question is more serious. Do you think that panic attacks, when they happen with this severity, can lead to Alzheimer's? Because I'm having also now, I haven't got Alzheimer's, I'm perfectly clear, but I'm having a lot of problems with remembering things. From this afternoon, from this morning, I can't remember things or where I was, and I get lost in traffic already. And I'm absolutely terrified that this is my fate, that the big A is lying in wait for me to come.
In wait, yeah.
Because of these effects.
Yeah. Laura, may I ask, how young are you?
How young? Now, I'm 69, I'll be 70 this year.
How long have the panic attacks lived inside of you, in your head?
Yes, about, I would say, 3 years now.
3 years. Has anybody examined where it started?
I've had a brain scan, Dr. Shoma, which showed nothing, but other than that, no.
No. What I would love to do with you is find a history of what was the real event that got you into anxiety, and then it lives in your head with kind of dread that it might come back.
Yes,
so we need to find out where did it actually start.
That's very much the case. I had an estrangement for 10 years. I'm very, very personal, very grieving, and now that's been resolved, thank God. But I did put up with this for 10 years, and so I'm sure that is the factor.
Yes, Laura, can I guess that now that you've solved that one, you are actually giving way to the exhaustion of it?
Giving way? You mean being a willing victim?
Yeah. The terminators are telling you what price you paid over all these years for that very stressful resolving of the personal unfortunate estrangement, which meant a lot to you, and now your body is coming out with it in the way of expressing it in anxiety. Anxiety is a good signal. Anxiety means caution, caution. but only in the face of a real threat. The real threat has been removed, and now you might be going into panic attacks because you are exhausted and your subconscious and your dreams, you said in sleep, whoa.
Yes, as well, yes.
You might have. And you asked whether the TV is a trigger. Yes, caffeine is a trigger. Reliving the experience is a trigger. If you do it in the company of a practitioner, a consultant, who talks you through relaxing your body and slowing down your breathing, you might get there. I'll talk to you. I hope you're going to listen to the show, because I'm going to get to the Shoma method, which is very, very basic stuff that might work for you. So please, Alzheimer looming? No. Now you're causing fear on fear. Because Alzheimer could be something. You've got to look at your family history, who got, who didn't. Is there a predisposition? Is there none? Yes, 69, 70. You sound, Laura, when you talk to me, competent, awake, aware, alive, and kicking. Definite stress or the fear of something coming to cause a panic attack will empty your life reservoir, and that causes forgetting. Not Alzheimer here.
Thank you, Laura. Falile, hello.
Hi.
Hi, Cecilia. Yes.
Hi, Philly. What can we do for you?
Is it me or Pilile?
Pilile. Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Hi, Pili.
Yes. Okay. I've suffered panic attacks for a very, very long time.
Yeah.
And I wasn't sure what was going on with me, you know, because
yes.
I was suffering in silence, you know, because you start thinking, am I losing my mind?
Yes.
Yeah.
What's happening? Why am I the only one feeling like this? So I remember my first attack. My first attack, I was at varsity, and it was in the student bus.
Yeah.
And I just felt so sick and dizzy. I didn't know what was going on. And then it went on and on. It would happen in malls, when I'm in a mall. And then, you know, I started Googling things because I was really, like, losing my mind. I was even thinking of calling, you know, Sangoma. So I started studying the pattern. When does it happen? And I realized I actually started having panic attacks after my father died.
Hello.
And I know why it happened, because I remember the first time I came into reality with the fact that he's passed on, we were in a crowd. So every time I see a crowd, it just triggers death or fear, you know? And then I'll just go into a state. And as soon as I realize that that's the problem, I'm now able to control them. I still have
wonderful.
Them like once in a while.
This is a wonderful call, because you know what you've done is a fantastic analysis. A careful analysis of you, the person, Pili, going back in time. Here I am, a student on a bus. This feels like death. This feels like I'm losing my mind. This feels like I'm losing all competence. I'm a young, fit person. I shouldn't be feeling like this.
Really?
And yet you do. May I ask, Pili, how many years before university did you lose your good father?
It was like a year.
Yep.
A year after, because
that's the range.
Passed on in 2000.
That's the range. Yeah. And isn't it stunning that the crowds that were at the funeral and that came to pay their respects and were around you remind you vividly of the huge loss?
Yes.
May I ask what you do now, Pili? What do you do to control it now? Please let us know.
It's breathing. I must breathe, and I must also remind myself that it's not real. Whatever I'm fearing is not happening. It's not real. It's not there. It's all in the mind. And I must just breathe and breathe and breathe.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well done. And I'm glad that we've got somebody calling in. It happened. It comes out of nowhere. It's a real anxiety, realizing the loss. The subconscious plays a part of it. You traced it backwards, and here you are, having it under control. Pili, you know, you and I know it, so many listeners know it. It will not go away, but you're controlling it and you're managing it. Well done.
Thank you, Palela. Thanks so much for sharing that. It's 14 minutes before noon. Let's take a break. Your calls, your experiences, advice you want. Also, just tell us how you do manage to cope with anxiety attacks, with panic attacks. You can't guarantee they'll never happen, but you can develop techniques that will enable you to manage them. 011-883-0702 in Joburg, in Cape Town, or 021-446-0567. Justin, we'll take your call on the other side of this, but the first thing we'll do when we come back is to ask Dr. Shoma to share with us the Shoma method.
702 and Cape Talk, Dr. Shoma.
We're focusing today on panic attacks. Dr. Shoma, what is the Shoma method?
You know that I do work with carers, a lot of carers, and I do people that have to care while being in war zones. So these are people that do incredible work, nurses, medical practitioners, paramedics, be in a war situation. And they don't have much time to fluff around, and they're not allowed to take medication. So the method is this: reduce yourself into a small ball as quickly as possible. When you're having a panic attack, you are dizzy, you are wobbling, you're shaking, you fear you're going to fall. So what am I trying to do here? I'm trying to very quickly reduce the overall fear potential and input. So kneel, hands on the floor, scan your body. You go from the toes to the feet, to the calves, to the knees, all the way up to the buttocks, the stomach, the chest, the arms, the hands. You scan your whole body, looking at it, knowing that it's still there and it's still functioning. While I, hopefully when you are with me, you have a panic attack, I can initiate it. In my presence, I teach you breathing. You are over, the oxygen that you take in when you're breathing rapidly is too much, and I've got to reduce that. There's no time to carry a black paper bag and to breathe into that. You've got to learn it yourself. So while I get you to kneel and make yourself small, I also prevent you from over-breathing. And when I've got your hands on the floor, which hopefully is a substance like a cold floor or sand or a swamp, you concentrate on the feelings produced by that. That takes the focus away from the image in the heat that is triggering this panic that you're going to die. Because when you make yourself small and you've got all fours on the ground, you can't fall far.
Interesting.
Interesting.
Justin, welcome to the show. How do you deal with it, Justin?
Hi there, UCBS and Dr. Sherman.
Hi. Justin, where can we help you?
Well, it's just an interesting topic to discuss because it actually happened to me quite recently. I mean, I've been living with anxiety for my whole life now, and currently I'm under care of a psychologist and a psychiatrist. But even with all of that, recently there was just a I messed up quite badly with my girlfriend, and once we got into a discussion about it, all of a sudden this feeling came over me, and I tried to get up off of the couch to go talk to my dad or get to my dad, and I ended up falling back onto the couch and then onto the floor, and just uncontrollable crying, and I couldn't breathe properly, and I just had no clue what was going on. And then I told my girlfriend to go get my dad, and I was freaking out. My dad came. He was very calm. He sat down with me, and he told me to take 5 deep breaths in, hold it for 5 deep breaths out, wait for 5, and do that 5 times. And literally on the 5th time, I felt it just ooze out of me.
Ah, your dad is a good man. Your dad is a good man. Have you asked your dad where he learned that?
He had a term for it. I'm just wishing I could remember what it is now. But, I mean, my dad's he's a great man, and he's well-traveled, so he must have picked it up somewhere along the way, and he's gone through a lot of loss in his life, so maybe he learned it through that.
Wonderful. Thank you, Justin. Congratulations, Dad. We're just a few days away from Dad's Day, Father's Day.
Yes.
And you've got a dad who knows and learn more from him. It's beautiful.
Thank you, Justin. Alona, good morning.
Hello, Dr. Sharma. Thank you for taking my call. Hi, Eusebius. Morning. I've heard all the discussions. I have panic attacks at night, and I'm 55 years old, and I don't know whether I'm afraid of the dark. It's only been in the last 2 years, but quite seriously, almost twice a week I have a panic attack where I wake up and I feel like I'm dying, and I've got to control my breath, like Justin has just said. Do I need to see somebody? Because I cannot trace it back to what would have caused it. Because I know when it started in 2015, but I have no idea what to do with this. And it's very debilitating.
Unfortunately, it's a good call, but unfortunately, you've already ingrained it deeply for nearly 2 years. So it's deep inside of you. In the dark in itself can present threats to people. When you hear about all the break-ins, all the robberies, all the people being attacked in the dark, it's a cover for people wanting to do bad, sad. So I would like to go back with you to 2015. What was going around you? How much stress, strain were you suffering? Was there loss? What were the surrounding circumstances, the milieu in which you lived? We might discover it. It is easier done. Simple recommendation. I've got some phenomenal, competent practitioners out there. They trace it back without being emotionally involved, and they lead you to it gently. That will open the door. In the meantime, you need to learn techniques that open the door to stand being in the dark. Because eventually you've got to switch off the light in your room, and eventually you've got to try to fall asleep. Has it ever happened to you just before falling asleep?
No, it doesn't. Good. I have no panic attacks during the day, nothing before I fall asleep. It's literally, it happens, I normally put the lights off at about 10:30, and this happens like about almost clockwork, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning. It sounds insane, I know, but...
No, hold on, this is very interesting. You wake at 1, 2 in the morning?
Yeah.
And do you keep lying in the dark?
No, I literally jump up out of bed, my heart is pounding, I can't breathe.
Yeah.
And I actually walk. I have to walk around the house to reaffirm that I'm actually living.
That you're alive and kicking. Wrong. Wonderful. You're doing the right thing. Yes. But isn't it astounding? Isn't it astounding that even while we are asleep, your mind is not forgetting the worries, the stresses, the strains in your life, and it will react to it. So it could be imagery triggered, dream triggered. It could be subconscious, and your body externalizes it. And you're doing good. Get up, light up the house, walk around, breathe, have a hot cup of tea, go back to bed. You're doing good. You're going to manage this. But go and analyze it, please, with somebody who can show you that you are in charge.
Okay, is it a psychologist? Do I need to see a psychologist? Is that the right person?
Who is your medical practitioner? Go to them, ask for a psychologist, go to a counselor, whoever's practiced in it. There is an anxiety society in South Africa. Depression Society, there are good people around. If you don't get anywhere, go on my website. I'll put you in touch with somebody.
Thank you very much, and have a lovely day. Thank you, folks.
Thank you,
Alona.
Bye-bye.
Much appreciated. I think we can squeeze in one final call. Mummy, hello. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Yusufian. How are you?
Very well. Thanks for calling us.
Thank you for the lovely show.
You're very kind. What do you want to share or ask?
Yeah, I'm a 43-year-old, and I've been suffering from anxiety attack. And panic attacks for a period of time. I've been to wellness center twice already. And this was, according to my psychiatrist, this was necessitated by the accident that I had like 3 years ago, which I didn't actually think was a major issue.
Yeah.
Now, it affects my health, it affects my work and my concentration at work. I'm just wondering as to what should I do now?
Has the person, the psychiatrist you've worked with, did that person teach you relaxation strategies? Did they teach you breathing strategies? Did they look at your life, how you and when you get your mind stuck, what thoughts precede it? Did they teach you how to relax your muscles? And most importantly, did they offer you practical day-to-day things you shouldn't do that will propel you more likely into an anxiety state?
I've been through that with an occupational therapist.
Wonderful. Are you practicing it?
Hold.
Okay, I don't know what's happened there, Dr. Sharma, but we've got 20 seconds left. What do you want to say
what
to
did
her?
She say? Did she say she's practicing
I
it?
I think she said no, actually.
Yeah, well, what must I say? if the occupational therapist gives you techniques, if the counselor, psychologist, psychiatrist, medical practitioner gives you techniques, they don't work sitting there on a shelf. You've got to practice.
Absolutely.
Human beings only get better when we practice.
Thank you, Dr. Sharma. We'll do it again next week. Lovely show.
Bye-bye.